50 years ago today, at 2:51 Coordinated Universal Time, then called Greenwich Mean Time, the Earth collectively held its breath as astronaut Neil Armstrong opened the hatch of the Apollo 11 lunar module called the Eagle and set foot on the surface of the moon. Many of us have the words he spoke on that occasion committed to memory. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Giant leaps, of course, do not take place suddenly. After all, the Apollo 11 mission was number 11 for a reason. There were 10 missions before it. 7 years earlier, President John F. Kennedy had said in a speech in Houston, "We choose to go to the moon." There had been years and years of preparation for that moment 50 years ago today. The Apollo 11 mission was a marvel of human ingenuity, endurance, and cooperation. All those people running all those computers, making sure every detail was tended to in order to make the mission a success. But of course, the idea of going to the moon had been around long before Neil Armstrong or JFK were ever born. One of the earliest movies ever made was a 1902 French film called Journey to the Moon. Has anyone seen that? Blockbuster back in the day, I promise you. You can watch it on YouTube. It takes all of 13 minutes. And the film centers on a group of astronomers who essentially shoot themselves to the moon in a cannon. The most famous image of the film, from the film, is of their capsule sticking out of one of the eyes of the man on the moon. And even before there were cannons that someone could ever think about firing at the moon, people had for thousands of years laid on the ground at night and looked up at the moon and wondered, what is it? How did it get there? Is anyone on it? Why does it grow and shrink over the course of the month? And most importantly, is it made of cheese? So Apollo 11 didn't really begin in 1969, or with JFK's speech in 1962, or with a great 13-minute French film in 1902. It began eons ago when a human being first looked up at the night sky and said, wow. Christian writer Anne Lamott wrote a book in 2012 about her three favorite prayers to God titled Help, Thanks, Wow. Wow can be a prayer. And I think wow was essentially the prayer that Mary, Martha's sister, was making in today's gospel passage from Luke. The Bible says that Mary, quote, sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. We get the sense that she was utterly entranced by the words that Jesus was sharing with her and the disciples that day and couldn't do anything but listen with her full attention as he spoke. In fact, she was so captivated by Jesus that her sister Martha complains to Jesus that she's not helping with the work that's required to welcome the Messiah and his disciples into your home. And so Jesus tells Mary to get up and help her sister. Except that she doesn't. He doesn't. He doesn't do that at all. Likely to Martha's dismay, Jesus tells her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, even a Messiah needs to eat, and his disciples certainly do. And so Martha was still doing important work. But Mary's wow prayer was even more important. Without appreciating Jesus, without experiencing his lordship, why welcome him as Lord? What Mary and Martha are doing are both important, but Mary has chosen the first part, the better part. You're not going to spend years and years of hard work and sacrifice to get to the moon unless you first looked up in the night sky and said, wow, I wonder if we could ever get there. In fact, you never get anywhere unless you first imagine what it would be like to get there and what it might take to do so. Then when you reach your destination, even if it's the moon, perhaps especially if it's the moon, you do that second prayer Anne Lamott lifts up in her book, thanks. That was in Buzz Aldrin's heart when he shared these words with the world when his lunar module touched down on the surface of the moon half a century ago. He said, "This is Lunar Module Pilot. I'd like to take this opportunity to ask every person listening in, whoever and wherever they may be, to pause for a moment and contemplate the events of the past few hours and to give thanks in his or her own way." Then, Aldrin reached into a small container that his Presbyterian minister had given him for the journey, and he took communion. As a Christian, that was the best way he knew how to thank God that he had landed safely on the moon. He may also have offered a brief prayer of help for the journey home. Aldrin believed that he could commune with Christ even when he was literally out of this world. And St. Paul agrees this morning's epistle reading when he says, "In Christ all things in heaven and on earth were created. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together." I don't know that Buzz Aldrin read these verses of scripture on the moon that day, but less than a year earlier, the astronauts of the Apollo 8 mission, the first time humans had orbited the moon and could see not a sunrise, but an earthrise, they did read from the Bible to express their wonder at God's creation. They read the first 10 verses of the Bible, the story of creation from the book of Genesis. Now, I could read those verses to you here and now, but even better is to hear the original transmission of the reading by those three astronauts, beamed to Earth as they orbited the moon on Christmas Eve, 1968. I'll close my sermon today with their voices. And I invite us all to close our eyes and offer a prayer of wonder, a prayer of wow, to the creator of the earth, the moon, and all that is, both seen and unseen, and not yet seen. Just a warning, the second voice is a bit harder to hear, so just do your best.